economic impact of the occupation on the Palestinian population of Jerusalem. It goes without saying that if politicians have no rights and are not recognized, then the people themselves would be denied such rights. So hence the focus on the economic and the social impact of the occupation. Now, since 1967, a number of restrictive measures have been taken in investment, in construction, and other fields of life, in services with regard to the Palestinian population. All of these were there to force their flight from the city. And the reason being, according to all researches which were conducted, both by Israelis and non-Israelis, Israel hopes to create a demographic balance that would favor itself, meaning that the Palestinian population of Jerusalem grows at an annual rate of 3%. It is double that of the Israeli population growth. And by 2030, there will be parity between the two population peoples within the both sides of the city. For this reason, most of the measures, or all of the measures, dare I say, that have been adopted are geared to ensure that the Palestinian population does not exceed 20 to 24% of the city, and that Israel or the Israelis would maintain their predominance. Now, what are some of these measures? Well, a lot of them were what we call administrative, primarily in the area of housing and construction. Israel have, from the beginning of the occupation, seized the homes of a number of refugees, people who have left under the pretext of what is called the absentee law, a law which was first enacted in 1950. And it has used these laws, this particular law, to confiscate the property of people who left or forced out of the city in 1967. But there were other legal measures which were adopted. The Green Law, for example, allows them to take land from their rightful owners. And in addition to this, certain taxes were imposed, which have made it very difficult for the inhabitants and the rightful owners of these lands to remain comfortably in their city and to develop it, and to live a decent and prosperous life. Although the Arab population of Jerusalem had grown fourfold since 1967, the provision of services to them during that period has dwindled significantly. Take, for example, in the issue of construction. On an average, the municipality in Jerusalem issues 1,500 permits to construct per annum. However, it issued, and that 1,500 goes to Jews, of course. 100 Palestinians only acquire or are given permits per annum. And that is a measure of the disparity and the discrimination and the deprivation of the Palestinian people in the city. 2 years ago, the United Nations itself confirmed that 94% of the applications for permits by Palestinians were denied. And this is quite telling. We move on to the issue of demolitions, because it is a sore point in all of this debate. It cannot be ignored by any means. The Israeli Committee Against House Demolition says that since the occupation started, 12,000 homes were destroyed, resulting in the displacement of 70,000 people. Now, how is this? Why do they enact such measures? Well, for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's as a reprisal. Someone they think, or a member of a family, engaged in an act of resistance to the occupation, and so the family's home would be destroyed, or the water would be cut off. In the case of the Isali family, Isali's family is a notable example. One of the brothers, his house was destroyed because of this. But there's also a question of shared discrimination. The destruction of homes can also be carried out purely on the basis of discrimination and favor for non and favor for Jews. Now, if we look at other areas of economic involvement, 40% of the economy in Jerusalem, the Palestinian economy, is dependent upon tourism. However, Palestinian businessmen are systematically denied rights to have a license as tour guides. And this is one of the, you know, the deliberate measures used to impoverish the Arab population of the city. And with impoverishment comes, you know, the ultimate choice of having to leave the city and seek a better life outside, normally, invariably into the West Bank. So we have a situation where today 65%, as a result of these measures, 65% of the Arab population live below the poverty line by UN figures, compared to 31% among Jews in the city. So the facts are quite stark. They are telling what we are seeing is a dual system, a system that favors one group of people over another. And this is reminiscent of what we've seen in South Africa, attempt to ensure the development of one people and the underdevelopment or denial of development of another. Now, although in theory, the Arab population are residents of the city, we've heard about the withdrawal of residency permits, but they cannot vote in the Israeli elections, and they can vote in the municipal elections. So the situation, the condition of the Arab population in Jerusalem is as a people in limbo. They are not recognized by the Palestinian Authority, or the Palestinian Authority, its reach does not extend into Jerusalem. The case of the four parliamentarians confirms this. But at the same time, they cannot. They are not recognized by the Israelis. So for this reason, this lack of recognition, they are denied, you see, all forms of social services and rights. It will take weeks, for example, to get into the municipal building to apply for a license. So years, in fact, some reports point out. And very often, those who manage to get past the doors of the municipal building often come out empty-handed. Now, in concluding, I want to just recall the conclusion of Richard Falk, the current human rights rapporteur, UN rapporteur to the city. He says, we have seen the engendering of a system that is characterized by three factors: colonialism, apartheid, and ethnic cleansing. This is the conclusion of Mr. Richard Falk. All three, under the statutes, on the books of the United Nations. All three are crimes. All three are punishable, and should be, as he recommended, steps should be taken to bring those responsible before the International Court of Justice. I think this is what is most important to underscore, and I say this because today we had a threat from the American Congress warning that the Palestinians should not make any attempt to prosecute Israel or its officials at any international legal forum. This was today. This is a message from the Congress today, as Mr. Obama visits the territories. But when we look at the facts, when we hear the reports of the United Nations representatives and even Israeli organizations, it is clear that a huge crime is being committed here with devastating consequences on the people in the territory, and it should be reversed sooner rather than later. Thank you.